Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No! It's the Flight Free Podcast. One presenter. One special guest. One mission to save planet Earth. Will they succeed? Find out in this thrilling episode of the Flight Free Podcast.
Hi everyone, and welcome to a brand new series of the Flight Free Podcast. We're really excited to join you now we're in 2023, so happy new year everyone. In previous series, we've explored different topics and themes for each of our podcast episodes. But this year, we're simply going to have conversations with people who have taken our pledge and who have particularly inspired us. So it's called In Conversation With. And first up, we are joined by Emily Tullow. So Emily is a designer and researcher who works with local councils on community engagement. Oh, and I should probably introduce myself too. I'm Anna, the director of Flight Free UK. So Emily has been working with us on our new pledge, which we're going to tell you all about in this episode. And being the start of the year, we want to get you really excited about our new pledge options for 2023. So welcome, Emily, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anna.
And did you love our new epic intro music?
I mean, yeah, I think epic is definitely the word I would choose. That was, yeah, very spacey. I loved it.
Yeah, so we create a new intro and outro for every series, and we've gone Hollywood this year, so it's all good. So thank you so much for joining us, Emily, and a big thank you for helping us develop our new messaging for this year's pledge. So to explain to the listeners, a major part of our campaign is the Flight Free Pledge, which is where people pledge to quit flying for a year. That's our method of behaviour change. So it's taking some time away from something, which is a great way to influence your future habits. And we've developed it this year with the help of Emily, who has done a bit of market research for us with potential pledges to see how we can be as inclusive and inspiring as possible. So, in addition to our standard Flight Free year, this year you can make your own pledge. The idea is that people can choose something that suits their own personal circumstances, because for some people, being completely flight free for a whole year just won't work for them. So we'll be talking about the detail of all of that later, but to start with, Emily, could you just introduce yourself and give us a little bit of info about your work?
Sure. So as you said, Anna, I'm Emily and I'm a designer and researcher. And yeah, originally I studied product design at uni, like making things and mass producing things for sale. And then I realized I didn't want to fill the world with more stuff, but I fell in love with designers' methodology and the idea of understanding people and understanding what they need and designing things alongside people. So most of the work I do now is around designing services and government services. So I work with local councils and stuff. But this, I think we just got introduced by people in the world of climate, ended up having a coffee, and then, yeah, ended up doing this little bit of work together.
Yeah, so just to add, this work that we've done together is all around finding out how we can engage more people in our pledge. Because lots of people are really inspired by our pledge, but for some people, our ask is too big. So we wanted to find out how to get people on board who maybe are environmentally minded, but haven't considered or maybe don't want to reduce their flights.
As you said, we kind of identified people just from family, friends, colleagues, people who were easy to convince to give us some feedback and sit down and have a coffee for 40 minutes. And showed them the previous pledge and the previous website and talked to them about their first impressions, how it made them feel, what they thought the campaign was about, and then whether they would sign something like that or not. And it was really interesting, I think, and like a broad range of responses. But one of the main things I think that stood out was when people answered no to that original question. So previously on the website, it was, could you take a flight for a year as like the opening question?
Yeah, I think we went in quite hard, didn't we?
Yeah, but it's just interesting, right? Like when you observe people or like when you watch their body language kind of tighten up and you ask them how they feel about it. And I think a lot of people said it was just so far away from where they were at currently that the idea of taking a flight for a year was quite overwhelming, and then it made them defensive and shut down and want to leave the website and move on rather than want to scroll and find out more.
Yeah, so a lot of the feedback was people wanting to see how they could do it, so a bit more practical information, and also why they should do it, but mostly though for those things before they get hit with the ask. But also one of the main things to come out of this was that we want people to see that this pledge is for them, whatever their circumstances. So that's why we decided to introduce the free choice pledge, so people can tailor it to themselves.
So I think that's just been really exciting now that there's the option to also design your own pledge. So wherever you're at in your journey to reducing flying, you can take part in this, and it's inclusive and open to everyone.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you and I know, and lots of people know, that actually we're at this point in the climate crisis where we can't tiptoe around the edges anymore. You know, we have to say how it is, and it's really serious. And in order to make the changes that are needed to address that crisis, we do have to go in hard, and we really should be reducing the amount we fly as much as we possibly can. It's gone beyond that point of being able to just take one less flight, for example. But having said that, we are not going to get anywhere unless people come with us. And that's the challenge for a campaign like ours, to inspire people to want to come with us and not to just shut down, as you say, on the first look. We have to strike that balance between communicating how serious it is and how urgent it is, but also empowering people and enabling them to take part in a way that works for them. So you reached a conclusion a while ago that flying less is a really good idea in terms of taking climate action. So can you explain how you reached that conclusion in your own life?
I guess I started getting really interested in the climate crisis and climate action in 2018. So it was the year when like all those things are coming together. So it was like David Attenborough, Greta Thunberg and the school strikes, Extinction Rebellion here in London, and the IPCC report, of course, you know, with the 12 years headline that we need to halve emissions by 2030. So all of these factors were coming together, and it just like landed me in a place in things I'd never considered and never thought of. And was I just remember being like, surely if it's this bad, politicians would be screaming it from the rooftops. And yet here we are. And I think it's safe to say that year changed the course of my life in a way. So I started getting really involved in activism. I also quit my job, and then I started working doing community engagement in around climate change for a local council, and you know, wanted this to be what I did. And I think the engagement part is what I'm really interested in. As you said, like, we know it's this incredibly serious, but actually how do you make sure that this is inclusive of everyone and actually connects with the things that are important to people? And I think maybe that's one of the issues that the climate movement has had in the past, that almost has gone in so hard with the messaging that a lot of people get defensive and switch off and don't actually see that this is not a competing priority. This is not something that's more important than your issue. This is something, all of these things are connected. And actually, if we can talk more about how these things like the climate crisis and cost of living and all of that are interconnected, rather than saying like this trumps everything else, I think that's something really positive. The flight angle, I guess, was actually a colleague of mine at work in that same year in 2018 who said that she only took one return trip flying once a year, and it was for the climate. And I guess that just opened my eyes to the idea that it is possible to do less, because I think for me, the idea of giving up flying completely is a non-negotiable. As someone whose family is in Australia and needs to go and see my sister every now and then. So I think it's just quite interesting, right? That actually, you know, the more years I get into it and the deeper I get into it, I think the closer I am becoming to being flight free. But at the beginning, that was just so far away from where I was at that I was like, well, I do all these other things. Like, I don't eat meat. I don't buy anything new in my life. Like, that's my vice. That's like my one thing. But actually, I think trying slow travel trips or trying to like save up and get the Eurostar on holiday rather than fly has really showed me that this is like a wild adventure and it is super fun. But I think there's something about it being a positive narrative.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really what we focus on here at Flight Free UK, the positive aspect of this narrative. So I think because there are lots of people like you who want to take climate action, but who allow themselves to fly, like you said, because they do other things and can't imagine giving it up. So that's why we have the pledge, so people can give it a try and try out those alternatives that you mentioned. And now, of course, with this new free choice pledge, even those who would be put off by the idea of being completely flight free can take the first step in their journey. But communicating the benefits of doing this, not just for the planet, not just about reducing emissions, but having those exciting, enriching travel experiences, is less stressful traveling overland. It's more calming, more relaxing, a different kind of experience completely. But also there's a value in not traveling at all and staying put and appreciating where you are. And that can also be really good for our mental health and for our well-being. So yeah, communicating all that kind of positive stuff and definitely showing that it's a positive choice and not a sacrifice. I think that's really important. So we're trying to reach the people whose default is to book a flight because they don't know about the alternatives. Because of course, if you are part of a community or family group who flies, you'll just assume that everybody does, even though actually it's a tiny fraction of the global community that flies. And even here in Britain, it's only around half of... Oh, hey, that's a good flight-free fact. Let's set that up.
Flight-free fact.
Only around half of the UK population flies in any given year. And for people in that scenario to then contemplate not flying at all, it's just too much, isn't it? And so we're very careful not to say you can never fly again, because that's not what this is. It is, could you try it just for a year and see where it takes you? And in fact, that's the wording on our website now. So we've updated the wording, we're framing it differently. We're framing it as a challenge. We've never really used that word before, but that's exactly what it is. And on the back of the work that you did with us, Emily, that's something that came out quite strongly from the feedback. It's just a subtle difference in the wording, but it does land differently. So our first question, rather than saying, could you take a flight for a year, is, are you ready to go big on climate action? Take the flight-free challenge and see where staying grounded could take you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think the word challenge, I mean, it really resonates with me. And I think there was a kind of moment that clicked when you said to me, there are other campaigns like Veganuary and things where you take a month off and it's a collective thing, and then that's likely to change your habits afterwards. Doesn't necessarily mean you become vegan, but it might make you question, you know, the choices that you make. Flight free challenge is the same, but just over a year. I think that that's, as a behavior change model, I guess, as you've said before, that's tried and tested. And I think the other bit that really resonates is the fact that you're talking about it. Because I think, again, another thing that I've found in my personal experience is it can feel like a drop in the ocean if you're just choosing not to take a flight and putting in a lot more money and a lot more effort to take a long distance coach or a train. UK holidays can also be really expensive, as we know. But I think the fact when you realize that it's not even just about all these individual actions adding up to make a bigger action, but that you have incredible potential to influence those people around you. And through conversations with family and friends and colleagues and like people in your community, by talking about the choices that you're making in a way that is non-judgmental and really accepting of people's own reasons for doing things, but just talking about yourself, I think don't underestimate the power that can have in like planting seeds in other people to then influence them in the future. And so I really think that this, you know, this campaign can have that systemic change by planting lots of different seeds and lots of different people and communities all around the UK. And then that's when we start to see bigger social change.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Thanks for that, Emily. I think that's a really great observation on the wider value of taking climate action in our own lives. Speaking of which, let's talk about your pledge. So you didn't feel that the pledge worked for you in previous years, did you? But now we have our custom pledge, you are taking it. So can you tell us what you've chosen?
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about it a lot. Because I think there's just some like nuance to me that I would love my pledge to focus on what I am going to do rather than what I'm not going to do. And maybe that's also in a way that will help me like frame the conversation when I talk about my pledge and talk about my travel choices with others. And just as a wider thing, I would love the climate movement to do more talking about the positives and like the actions we're doing rather than all the things we have to give up. So my pledge is going to be stay grounded for trips in Europe. And I will do it for a year. And I think that is as much about making it accessible and inclusive to other people. Because I think the idea of like, I'm challenging myself to do this, I think is a much more inclusive way to start the conversation with other people. In the spirit of the Flight Free Challenge, I'm going to challenge myself to do this, talk about it to other people, and then next year, renew, step up, whatever it may be. I'll let you know in 2024.
Great. And not flying within Europe means that if you were to have to travel to Australia for family reasons, you could do that while still being part of the pledge. Obviously, flying to Australia is very high carbon. So it's not like you are saying no flights within Europe, but I can go to Australia as much as I want. But even so, that must be a real challenge for you. You know, your family is literally on the other side of the world. So how do you reconcile that?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it is a real challenge. And this has been the cause of a lot of conversations between me and my parents as well. So for a while, I thought I would never fly again. And then I think I realized that there would be like really big things that I would lose, you know, if my sister like has a baby, then never being able, you know, to like go and visit her and her, like that's one example, I think. And I also think I want to be a bit pragmatic with it. So if it's literally like me traveling over there, that's going to save three people traveling over here, like that actually does kind of make sense. So, yeah, I think just figuring it out in my head, and I think I've landed on the fact that I will fly to Australia and I will do so infrequently, and that is just a part of my family living over there and that being part of my identity. And I think there's probably a lot of people who are in really similar positions, you know, who have family in other parts of the world, who have, you know, or like are connected to a culture or a heritage, and it's really important for them to be able to fly. But I think that then shouldn't mean where I was previously, like pre-2018, which is like, well, I just fly and that's fine. I think it's almost like leaning into these kind of complex and difficult and slightly uncomfortable conversations and figuring it out for yourself, talking about it with family and friends, and yeah, kind of like iterating where you stand. And not judging anyone else for their choices. Like these things are so personal, but kind of like figuring out what works for you. So that means like I am going to be flying to Australia in 2023. So hence the Europe pledge. I'm not planning any other long distance flights. Don't worry, Anna, just the one. But yeah, I guess for me, it's just like figuring out how those things align.
Okay. And I guess we should just clarify here that it's your sister that's in Australia, isn't it? And your parents live in the UK. Is that right?
They're in Edinburgh. But I think that, you know, when I was in my I'm never going to fly again mode, like I had like real arguments with my parents over it, or they just felt really, they mostly felt really upset that like I would be judging them for flying to Australia, like to see their elderly parents. And I think, you know, being like, actually, you know, but for them, they have now, like, I'm going to be getting them to join me on this pledge, by the way. The no, you know, they were like, we can definitely not fly like anywhere in Europe. Like, that's fine. But for us, going to Australia to see our parents or our daughter is like a part of, you know, what it means to be a parent or what it means to be someone's child.
How long have you lived here in the UK, by the way?
It was actually my 20-year anniversary just the other day. So I left when I was a kid, desperately tried to hold on to my Australian accent. But yeah, so then I grew up in Scotland and now I live in London. But my sister's now moved back to Australia, which for me is that's the big challenge.
Yeah, well, it's a lot easier to travel to Edinburgh without flying. So do you travel up and down between London and Edinburgh frequently? And have you taken the sleeper train?
Yeah, I mean, I take the train all the time. I probably go back once every couple of months. I still got friends in Edinburgh, so I go back to see them a lot. And I love hiking and camping and outdoor stuff. So I go up to the Highlands a lot as well. So yeah, I have taken the sleeper train. Actually, my flatmate and I got a kitten, and then we realized we were going back to Edinburgh for Christmas, both of us. So we ended up taking our kitten on the sleeper train, which then broke down and we had to get a coat
Oh, no.
The rest of the way. So I have quite a traumatic story about the sleeper train. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Actually, the last time I took a sleeper train, it also, I don't know if it broke down or if the schedule just didn't work. But yeah, we were on a coach as far as Edinburgh. So this was coming back from Inverness. And so I just remember like going through the Cairngorms, like really trying to not be too sleepy because I knew it would be so painful when we arrived at Edinburgh at 2 a.m. and had to get on our sleeper train. But yeah, I mean, it's important to kind of acknowledge that travel is a nightmare, regardless of whether you're flying or not, because sometimes we do hold up these stories as a bit of a, I don't know, is it a warning or is it a badge of honour? But people say, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to fly. Well, planes also get cancelled and also break down. And also, you know, it's travel that's the difficult part rather than what means you're taking. Anyway, I don't know if you know, but London to Edinburgh is the UK's busiest air route.
Is it actually? Wow, no, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, that's another
flight free fact.
That's our lovely flight free fact lady. That's actually Sophie Helbig. She took our pledge in the first year and she's a voice artist, so she recorded that for us. But yeah, London to Edinburgh, it seems crackers, right? Because it's so easy to travel by train, unless it breaks down. This has come up recently, actually, because I don't know if you saw, but in the news, the French government has banned flight routes that have a direct rail connection that takes less than 2.5 hours, which makes so much sense. So we've been thinking about that here in the UK and if that would work as well. It would have to be slightly different. So if we could replace rail routes that take up to 4.5 hours, that would include London to Edinburgh, which is obviously that's so perfectly doable by train. And for routes like that, it takes just about as long to fly anyway once you've factored in the transfers and check-in times. So it makes sense to kind of bring in legislation that would say you can only run a train on this route, because it's so important. The carbon savings are immense. So you're saving around 80% on carbon emissions, which is really key at this point in the climate crisis. So we need government to back rules like that. And we, of course, here at Flight Free UK, we can do our bit by raising awareness for people and communicating that it's just as easy to take the train. It can be really cheap if you're using one of the new cut price rail companies like Lumo, or if you're booking in advance, you can get some really good fares. You can travel by coach. That's a good way to do it. That's a cheaper way, although, of course, that's not quite as comfortable and definitely not as fast. But yeah, so we definitely encourage people not to fly domestically. Actually, I feel like that's an absolute minimum for the pledge.
Yeah, I mean, talking of domestically, I think I would love to go to Northern Ireland or Ireland this year, having never been there. And I'm always really upset when people say they haven't visited Scotland. Yet I've never been to Ireland or Northern Ireland. So that is a route I would like to try out this year.
Yeah, terrific. Well, yeah, actually, we do have a video on our Facebook page of a journey to Dublin that I took a few years ago on the rail and sail route. And I think because it's Stena Line who does that, and I also think they sail to Belfast. So the point of rail and sail is that it's really affordable and your train ticket is included in the ferry ticket, because that's often the most expensive part. getting the train to the port. So from London to Dublin only cost 50 quid. And it's a really good train route, goes along the north coast of Wales. And yeah, I mean, it's not ideal because actually it doesn't connect particularly well. So you're waiting in Holyhead for quite a long time before the ferry leaves. So there are many, many things that the transport industry could do to make this an easier route to take. But it is affordable and it's fine. You know, you work on the train if you've got a laptop or whatever, if you need to, or you could just read a book or sleep or do whatever you want. And then the ferry itself is just great. Ferries are brilliant. And then up to Belfast, you would either go from Liverpool, which is quite a long crossing, a long sea crossing, or you can go all the way up to Cairn Ryan, which is just Dumfries and Galloway. And that's a shorter ferry to Belfast, so a couple of options. And that brings us quite nicely to the end of our episode. So thanks so much for joining us, Emily, and for giving your insights into our campaign. I hope that people are inspired to join the pledge in the way that you've explained. So if you listeners want to sign up for a flight-free year or to make your own pledge, you can do so on our website, which is flightfree.co.uk. And we also have our social media at flightfreeuk. And we'll be sharing the stories of the people who are taking our pledge, which are hopefully really inspiring and will encourage lots of other people to take the challenge. We've got some of them up on our website already and on our social media, including yours, Emily. So please do go and check them out. It's so inspiring to read other people's stories and to see why they are making the choices they're making and the practicalities of making those choices. And hopefully that will empower and enable lots of other people to do the same. So thanks very much for joining us, Emily. It's been great to have you.
Thanks so much for having me, Anna. Yeah, I'm really excited to see how the new website goes, how the updated challenge goes. And as always, we would, I guess, love to hear people's feedback and be open to that.
Yes, you can get in touch with us anytime through our social media or through our website. And we love hearing from you. So thanks for listening. And we'll see you next month with another inspiring conversation. And here's that Hollywood music back to play us out. Bye!
This podcast was brought to you by the team at Flight Free UK. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to join the Flight Free Challenge for 2023. All you need to know for your challenge is at flightfree.co.uk. The Flight Free Podcast will return!